welcome back, everybody. It's time for another episode of The Real World of Sales. One show that brings in some really interesting people doing the most incredible thing, talking about how they got there, where it's taken them, with the woman who is riding along on the journey of all these people, Ashley V. What do we call you today? Are you a survival coach? I don't know what you are today.
Who, me?
Or Ashley. How do we give Ashley?
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, business coach, sales coach, entrepreneur coach, everything coach. I don't know. Advisor.
Today you're going to coach us.
You're an everything coach?
Everything coach. Everything in life.
Can you coach me how to eat? Dolphins?
What?
What the hell? Oh, no.
I did hear about that. I saw that.
Oh, well, no, I'm just...
So bring your guest in. Who's your guest today?
That's inappropriate.
More dolphins. We have a Gary Golding today, everybody. He's been on Naked and Afraid 7 times. He's one of the top contestants. He's a star. He's a survival expert, nature expert, outdoors expert. He knows all about it. And he's also an amazing entrepreneur, teaching outdoor survival classes in Southern California and also doing motivational speaking, all kinds of stuff. So, Gary, we want to know all about it. You know, like, how did you get started in nature? Like, what made you do that?
Okay, well, thank you. It's nice to be here, by the way, Ashley. And
for sure.
You know, I'll tell you what, you touched on... like how I'm in the business of teaching survival, but I'm more about taking people on adventures. But motivational speaking, I do assemblies all over the nation.
Wow,
and I've done them in New York, Seattle, LA, San Diego. I just did an assembly in San Diego at the Jewish Academy for Rosh Hashanah because I brought live bees and honey because it revolves around honey and apples.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, live bees.
So I've taken my knowledge of nature, acted real crazy, and people took notice and said, will you come act crazy in front of our kids? Will you teach me and show me nature and how to have crazy fun in nature? And so it's a pure passion and love of nature. I was that kid that always had bees and spiders in a jar and just was fascinated by nature,
right? So you brought all those home. Did your parents say anything? Did they notice some talent there?
Well, you know, I was one of those kids that was kind of like, for Christmas, the aunts and uncles and stuff, I would get like insect kits. You know what I mean? So it was kind of recognized that I was like that type of kid, right?
Sure.
And if they didn't know, they nailed it. Whoever that auntie or uncle was that got me the insect stuff, you nailed it. So basically, awesome. What I'm getting at is this passion. So I'll tell a story.
Okay.
And it starts from a little boy, like 3 years old. I'll start there.
Okay.
So how I ended up where I'm at today. My grandmother and grandfather had a garden in the backyard. They had oranges, lemons, pomegranates, peaches, apricots, blackberries, carrots, everything in their backyard.
Wow, sounds amazing.
Yeah, so I helped my grandfather garden as a really little boy and killing gophers with the hose down the garden, down the gopher hole. And my grandfather would go to work. My grandmother would be, she was a housewife, so she'd be cleaning the house.
Okay.
And she would put me loose in the backyard where it was all fenced in, barefooted, and said, hang out back here. You could eat all the lemons and oranges, do all what you want. I remember her saying, just don't eat the seeds. They cause a tummy ache. And I was like,
right. That's true.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. So I would hang out in the backyard barefooted and just eat a bunch of fruit, right?
Okay. Okay. I can kind of see where this is going. Okay.
Yeah. So
nice.
So I knew from a young age, you eat off of trees, you eat off of plants. I would say that's almost like a basic nature knowledge survival skill right there, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And I remember I swallowed a seed one time from the lemon, and I was like, oh no. And I remember feeling like I'm going to get a tummy ache.
Aww.
And I didn't.
And you're a little kid,
And I didn't.
Okay.
So I started running experiments very young.
Oh, okay.
And if you've seen me on television on the challenges, I'm definitely running experiments, right?
You've eaten a lot of interesting stuff, for sure. More than I've seen anybody else on the show. I've been watching for... several years. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I have the most diverse diet on there, right? I mean, let's be honest, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I lived
true.
Off a pot of maggots for 3 days last challenge. And
oh, my gosh.
So now, and I went viral around the world for eating some crazy stuff off the beach in Laguna. And I ate a dead coyote off the road in Cambria about 3 months ago. So, I mean, I eat crazy stuff now. So,
Now, do you ever get sick from any of that? Or it's like your stomach is used to it.
Not that stuff, but other stuff. And so now what I want to get into is tied into entrepreneurship. So I swallowed a seed, and then I didn't get a tummy ache. So I started running experiments. I started eating all the seeds and the lemons. I just started chewing them up, and I ignored it. And I was like, I would eat 3 seeds and 5 seeds, and I was like, I'm not getting a tummy ache. Then I started getting the peach pits, because sometimes the peach seeds will crack open. You see an almond-sized seed in there.
Right.
I started eating those, and I was like, they're wrong. I'm not getting a tummy ache. And so I would have to say I started running experiments early on, and I was always barefooted, told not to walk around barefooted because you'll step on glass, catch a cold, it's bad for your back.
Yeah, I heard that as a kid too, right?
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. We hear that as kids.
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense to me because I had stronger feet than anyone, and I would show off to my cousins, and I would walk on glass.
Wow.
And I would walk on those aloe plants that were kind of spiny and like
cactus. Yeah, I've seen those.
It was like cactus almost. And I was like,
that's really good.
Yeah, I was like, how does this make any sense? Like, I'm stronger than everyone in the foot area.
So you have like a natural skill and talent there.
There's something natural about this that I'm getting into.
Okay.
So then in school, we had these white bushes, these hedges along the, in the hallways.
Okay.
And I started grabbing the bees off the bushes with my friend, and I learned that they would sting me. And then I could take my fingernail and take the stinger out real quick, and my hands would just get hot.
Okay.
And I would let them go. And being an attention-hungry little boy, the kids are all, oh, my God, Gary's grabbing bees, and I let them go. And then I took it up a notch, and I learned that bees live about an hour to an hour and a half after a sting.
Okay. So I didn't know that.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Wow. You don't know that.
Yeah.
But Gary, the little boy, did. And how I knew all these things was through sheer experimentation on my own.
Right. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And that's neat. You learn, it's like you're self-taught in nature.
Yes. There's a degree of that, right? And so my fascination and mischief. So then what I started doing is getting 3 bees in each hand after they would sting me, and I would take them into class, me and my friend, and let them go in class.
Oh my God.
And then
you're like one of those kids.
Yeah. I'm one of those kids. Yeah. And so they get sluggish and they started landing in girls' hair and in the class, and they're screaming and on the desk, and they're going, ah, we got to empty the class out. And
then
now
you get to go home for the rest of the day.
Yeah, right. So I'm told not to get stung by bees, not to eat the pits of fruit, seeds, not to walk around barefooted.
Okay.
Fast forward. And meanwhile, I was part of something called Indian Guides with YMCA, where we dress like Native Americans, natives, Indians.
I didn't know about that. Okay.
It was this looser branch of like the Boy Scouts type stuff.
Okay.
And our dads would take us camping. We used to have to make our own moccasins, our own leather vests.
Nice.
Nowadays, it's kind of a shame they call it cultural appropriation probably, but we were actually allies of them, and we wanted to be like them.
Yeah.
So we're not even allowed to love other cultures in a sense. We were loving the culture.
Right, yeah.
So it's kind of a weird thing. So that exposure, then you fast forward to later in life. Then I start seeing that the research shows that they believe that maybe the cyanide B17 inside the pits of fruit might help fight off diseases.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Then.
That's really interesting because I didn't know that either. And I feel like food is very interesting and you're really good with food. Like, you know a lot about it.
Yeah. So well, and.
That's great.
And then they came up with these gurus called grounding and earthing.
Okay.
You know what that is?
No.
When you walk around barefooted and reconnect to the earth, and I'm like,
oh, okay.
And I'm like,
you've been doing this.
I'm like, BS, like grounding and earthing, Mr. Guru. It's called walking around barefooted. We've been doing it for millennia. Like, what? Like, now you got a title for it because we're so disconnected, right? And I'm like, no title allowed. It's called walking around barefooted.
Exactly.
So.
Right.
Because I'd been doing this thing that gurus were teaching my whole life, right?
Yeah, like those guys are in the, middle of nowhere on barefoot. And
yeah, and
I don't know.
Now I make a living on
crazy, right?
Pretty much kind of on TV almost doing it, right? So
yeah, and you're like an expert, so.
Yeah, so it's like, so then we get into one more aspect. Then they discover that the melanin in bee venom actually mm-hmm. kills cancer cells in the body.
Oh my gosh.
So wow. this all gets revealed.
That's amazing.
Yeah, this all gets revealed to me later in life.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
I'm like going, well, holy crap. Yeah. Accidentally, oh I stumbled into all this stuff that's like supposed to be super healthy
that's
for me
really
that I was told not mm-hmm. to do by all the adults.
Yeah, like some of those old myths and things you hear as a kid that's actually good for you. That, so then maybe then that helped you to, you know, be stronger and be like really talented and be able to do all these outdoors things too.
Yeah, so what it gets into, if I would have listened to all the adults, I may have been mm-hmm. proactively improving my health just by being wow. defiant and wanting to run around yeah. barefoot and catch bees
oh
for
my
mischief.
Gosh. Yeah,
so now
awesome.
here's where it gets into. Then all of a sudden I started taking survival courses.
Okay.
In like 1999.
Where did you take them?
And I'll tell you why. Because mm-hmm. Y2K was coming. And I don't know if you remember
oh, yeah. okay.
that planes were supposed to fall out of the sky and all this stuff. So I was like,
all the technology was
yeah.
going
to and I was like, well, I want to be prepared.
Okay.
So I actually started taking survival courses and I immersed myself
okay,
in the
cool.
wilderness for a year.
Oh, okay.
Training
nice.
In wilderness survival.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Then, mm-hmm. as a hobby, I started saving bees. And I was sharing it on Facebook.
Wow, okay. How did you save them?
If you had bees at your house, I'll remove it from the wall, put them in a bee box, and
okay.
take them home or give them to somebody that wants them.
Okay, nice. So, okay, that's so, cool. That's good.
So now look, we're into mischief, playing, hobbies.
And then you're practicing survival.
And then meanwhile, my whole life, my dad took me snorkeling. I'd be snorkeling with and surfing, and I'd be snorkeling
okay.
with
that's awesome.
With stingrays and all this stuff.
Yeah, nice.
So my dad was exposing me to nature very young with Indian guides, my grandmother's okay. backyard. So now this culmination, right?
Right.
And I was this kid on the way to school also. I would get the garden spiders that were in the web and I'd pop yeah. them in my mouth in front of the girls and spit them back out into the web. I was
oh
just,
my gosh.
I was a mischievous little boy picking on everyone with my little brazen
nerve. Yeah, yeah. I can
nerve.
See that. You know, it's like on the show too. I've seen you do things like that.
Yeah, I do it on the show. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
On the challenge. And so nice. Now check it out. It gets into entrepreneurship.
Okay.
When one day I realize, one day this girl, she's a teacher, and she knew me years ago. I used to like party with her. But I would walk her around Hermosa Beach, and I would
nice.
Show her all the edible plants and the medicinal plants.
Okay.
And she was
that's
fascinated.
Awesome. Yeah, that's good.
15 years later, she became a teacher. She mm-hmm. saw me saving bees online.
Okay.
And she's like, Gary. And I was crazy, but she knew me as my heart. He acts crazy, but he's, you know, a good human, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So she goes, sure. Will you come to my school and teach the children about bees?
Oh, okay. That's really nice. That's awesome.
So it's still in the hobby zone, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I go, sure.
Okay.
I show up 5 times, do mm-hmm. it for free.
Okay.
On a fluke, the company said, will you come work for us? When they saw how good I was
that's
with
great.
Children
yeah.
and with nature, they were like, wow, this guy is next level.
Okay.
Please come work for us. So I got recruited.
Right.
Now I'm getting a paycheck.
Sounds good. Oh my gosh.
Now we're getting into entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Okay.
And then around that time, mm-hmm. one reason they recruited me, I was in the media. I saved a 19-year-old kid's life
wow.
in Palos Verdes in
oh
a cave
gosh.
In the ocean.
Yeah, I've been there. You know, the ocean is really nice. They have all the cliffs there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And I brought him back with CPR. It was all caught on camera and it went viral around the world.
So he was in the ocean and you swam and saved him.
And I jumped in and risked my life
wow.
and saved him. I got the Carnegie Hero Medal for that.
That's amazing.
Which the old billionaire Carnegie had a trust fund
yeah.
set up to where if a civilian risked their life to save a life, mm-hmm. they get this medal and I got $6,000.
Wow, that is so cool. Oh
and
my gosh.
A scholarship to go wherever I want. I haven't used it yet.
Do you still talk to that guy that you saved? Or?
No, we don't talk anymore. He was a Muslim
okay.
kid. And
wow, that's interesting.
Yeah. And
that's a really nice story.
And the Muslims taught me.
We need
me,
more people doing things like this nowadays.
Well, they invited me to their house for Eid, to break fast.
Okay.
And they're the ones that taught me there's a saying in the Muslim world, in the Quran or something, that says if you save one life, you saved 1,000, or if you've saved one life,
oh.
you saved humanity.
Yeah.
And they told me this. And then
awesome.
Then they
that's
sat
really
me down
nice.
And told me about this whole book dedicated to bees in the Quran. So okay. I learned about, you know, about their culture. So anyways.
That's really funny how it all like connects there.
Yeah, I'm sharing all this because it will come into the culmination of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, and the show. And it kind of like leads to that too.
It does. Wow. Because that was viral around the world.
Okay.
Meanwhile, this company hired me. I wasn't on TV yet. To be a kayak guide on the LA River. LA River Expeditions is a company I work for.
Nice.
And I take people on tours up and down the river. I did that for free at first, too. They asked me to be an educator, and then they said, will you work for us? So these two jobs.
That's really cool.
I started out doing for free out of passion, and then they hired me. So now there's an income.
Yeah.
Just from loving nature. So
That's really cool.
Yeah, the lesson here is I was passionate. I love nature.
Yes.
The nature gave me love back. The bees gave me love by giving me a job.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
Right?
It's just like, it totally came back to you.
So then I'm out on the water playing in the ocean.
Okay.
And I realize I know a lot about this ocean.
Yeah.
And the coastline. This is worth something. I'm going to start a business and figure out how to get paid to play on the beach.
That's great. That's like the best job. It's like a dream job.
So now I'm getting paid to kayak on the LA River.
Okay.
I'm getting paid to teach children. I became a garden teacher. I'm getting paid to eat organic food in a garden and teach children how to grow their own food and teaching them about bees.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then.
That's awesome. That's really important now.
And then when that thing went viral, saving that kid, that's how Naked and Afraid found me.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So.
That's really cool.
So they see this guy on TV.
Okay.
Saving a life. They look into him. He's a teacher of nature and a survivalist.
So it he had really good skills.
Well, it was the perfect backstory and the perfect story for a guy that you would want to have on this type of show, right? I never even really watched The Challenge or anything.
Oh, you didn't? Okay, cool.
So I do the interviews. I get on there. I'm really good on wild on TV, and I become a fan favorite.
I
go every year for 7 years. So now I travel the world. I live off the land. I have custom tours that I do.
Okay. What's your website, Gary?
Oh, GaryGolding.com or Tarzan of Los Angeles, Tarzan of Los Angeles, and at Tarzan of Los Angeles 1 on Instagram. How much time do we have left? Okay. Awesome. Because we're going to get into some other stuff.
Okay.
So now check it out. So my life passion and playfulness, then this is one more good part of the story that I want to kind of And I'll wrap it up.
And we want to know a little bit of like, what's it like being on the show?
Yeah, we're going to get into that.
Okay.
So the entrepreneurship, all of a sudden I'm getting paid to bring bees to schools. I'm getting stung in front of the children by the bee to show them how to remove the stinger.
Yeah.
And I'm letting the bee go in class because it doesn't have a stinger and they're all screaming. And I look around the class and I realize as an adult, I'm looking around the class, I realize I'm getting paid to do what I did for mischief as a kid.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's all like
literally, right? So I'm going, oh my gosh, I took my mischief and my love of nature and I actually turned it into
an income. Yeah.
A job that I love. And so,
nice.
You know, that saying, if you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life. Right.
Right.
And so I fell into that and now it's about just constantly growing it.
Right. For sure. No, I've seen you, like, on the show, you know, you do, like, the similar things, too. I've seen you, like, on some episodes teaching other people about, like, the, you know, biology and the plants and things to eat and, like, you know, dealing with the bees and the food and things.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the most famous naked beekeeper in the world, right? So it's like people always, I get those things sent to me all the time of those guys harvesting honey and some without protection. And, you know, I'm out there doing it twice on the challenge. I've done it twice, butt naked harvesting bees, right? Beehives.
Have you ever got stung on the show?
Yeah, I get stung 60 times.
They have a lot of different bugs there too.
I get stung 60 times in an hour. I've been.
Really?
Wow. Oh yeah. They have. Imagine.
That show is so interesting to me. Cause like, I'm always like so curious, like how do you survive? You know, like it's so tough. Like you literally have nothing and you have to survive, you know, for like 21 days and find your food.
Let me put it in perspective. This is one thing that'll put it in perspective.
Okay.
When you gather firewood and stack it next to you in your shelter.
Yeah.
Just to get a drink of water, you have to gather wood, light it on fire, boil the water, let it cool off, we're talking 2 to 3 hours just to get a drink of water.
Wow.
You have to work for a drink of water. And then when you gather firewood and stack it in your shelter, do you know what else you're stacking in your shelter?
No.
This is what people don't think of.
Right. No.
Scorpions, centipedes, spiders, ants, snakes, and other bugs you've never seen in your life that live in the wood.
Right, right.
So you stack that right next to you while you're sleeping. And when you grab it in the middle of the night, you're hopefully you don't grab one and get stung. Uh-huh. But right when you throw that log on the fire, guess what happens?
It all gets killed.
No.
No?
They all come rushing out.
Oh, my gosh.
So now you got scorpions and ants all running out of this log, running under you, running across you. So people don't think of this part, right?
Right.
Imagine being able to sleep and keep the fortitude to be calm enough while there's a scorpion running across your body to not, like, smash it. Because if you smash it, it's going to sting you.
Oh,
so you got to, like, let it happen.
Oh my gosh.
And like flick it, right?
Okay.
So
Yeah.
It's a mindset.
Right. That's why it's good you have like those really good skills, because I think you have to be really, really skillful to be on that show. Like some people think it looks easy, but I think it's a lot tougher than people think.
Like they really leave us alone at night.
Oh, okay.
And if a cat jumps on you, you're fighting a cat. We sign up to die. and so now check it out on the other challenge, the last one standing, you saw I got a bunch of bird eggs, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And so
in
some of those bird eggs, when I popped them in my mouth and I ate them, there was a chick inside of them.
Okay.
Had bit down and I ate a little baby chick.
Oh, okay.
So
you had to survive, right?
So. Well, you don't expect it, right? So on that note.
Okay, so what is this we have here now?
I brought you something to eat today. All right.
Oh my gosh. Should I be nervous?
Some eggs. Should you be nervous? Probably, if Gary's going to offer you food. Now, what I want to share, what I want to share on the challenge, I'm the only survivalist that's allowed to wear his logo on his clothing. So I make very clear, I went on this challenge for one reason and one reason only, to carry a message to humanity. Consume as little as possible, because if every human being on Earth did this today, the planet would be cleaner by tomorrow.
Wow.
And so that's what I teach the children in my assemblies.
Sure.
Okay, so there's a purpose for me to go on there.
We really need that nowadays, for sure.
Yeah. So, anyways, on that note,
do you
want to have something that Gary...
Okay, you go
first.
You want
to eat something with Gary?
Maybe you go first. How do you eat it? What is this exactly?
This is called balut.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay, the Filipinos eat it.
Now, it does not look like a regular egg yolk.
No, what it is, it's a juxtated little baby bird to 3 weeks of juxtation.
Okay.
And it's got little feet and everything.
What?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of bird is this?
I don't know. It's a duck. I'm not even sure.
Okay.
But look.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
This is called balut.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. So there is... Those are feet. And there's like the yolk there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Do you want to eat one with me?
Okay, I'll try it.
Or do you want to take a bite?
I'll eat one with you.
You'll eat one with me?
Okay.
You'll eat some. Well, she's crazy. I wouldn't. You know, there's a. Oh hey, gosh. This is a true story.
Maybe I'll take a little bite and just taste it first.
Hey, this is a true story. Some of the survivalists on the challenge, I had a couple of them tell me. I remember Max, I brought back an armadillo and we were hungry. Uh-huh. And he goes, I always said, if I would never eat anything Gary brought back. And the next thing you know,
they don't trust you.
No, and the next thing you know, they're eating it, right? So,
because
what I'm known for is to eat, and I really pick on him. I'm like, what are you doing out here?
What's the weirdest thing
if you don't, if you're not going to eat like a caveman, then what the heck are you doing out here?
Right, you have to survive. You need some food.
Darn it.
Oh my gosh.
Are you down for this?
Oh, my God. Okay.
Ashley's going to eat balut with Gary Golding.
Okay,
and I'll tell you the truth. I've eaten little chicks in eggs in the wild.
Okay.
But I've never eaten balut.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
So well, this is me and your first time both. Wait.
Maybe I need a trash can nearby.
You might. No. Here, let me grab you one.
There's a bucket there. We have one here.
Okay. Right. A salute. Here, let's
do
this.
There's like veins in it.
Hey.
Oh my gosh.
Hey.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do this. A salute.
Okay, cheers.
A salute with balut. Me and Ashley are eating a Filipino dish called balut, which is a bird gestated to 3 weeks old.
All right.
Are you ready?
All right. I think so.
I don't expect you to fit the whole thing in your mouth, by the way.
I think I'm like nervous. Like, what is going on in here? Mine has veins.
Yeah, you might get a beak. Who knows?
Oh my God.
Let's find out. I've never eaten it. You ready?
Okay.
Here we go.
I think so.
Mm. Holy moly.
Okay. It's different.
This part's hard.
Did you eat the, what is that?
I don't know, but it's hard. It feels like cartilage.
Oh my God. This is like, what is, there's like all this stuff happening inside of here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I think I have an eyeball. Look, is that an eyeball? Right there?
I'm known for eating eyeballs.
You want it? There's an eyeball right here.
I've eaten some eyeball. Eat it. You eat the eyeball, Ashley.
The bird eyeball?
Yes. Eat the eyeball. Now.
Oh, my God.
Go. Let's ask that bird what it sees. Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I never ate an animal eyeball.
You never ate an animal eyeball?
No.
I've eaten alligator eyeballs, impala eyeballs. Catfish eyeballs raw, because Amber made me eat one raw.
Oh, she did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and then she tried to take one after me and eat it and almost vomited. And really? It was her idea.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Oh. We got napkins. All right. Here,
I don't know what this is. This is like yolk or something?
It looks like the yolk grown up or something.
I've never seen an egg look like that. Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Ashley, describe what it is. Tell me. You ate an ant. You ate a little bird that's been gestated in the egg for 3 or 4 weeks and turned into something here, and now you're eating it.
It looks like it's kind of like the bird is like half dead, and you're eating it.
Half dead?
The bird that's all out of a nest or something here, and you're eating it.
Yeah, it's look like you can see the whole thing here, and it's like a lot going on. And
that bird, Ashley, had a chance at life.
And you're eating them. Eyeballs and all.
Yeah,
you, eyeball.
Eyeballs and all, Ashley.
Eyeball, hey, guys.
Welcome to the world of Gary Golding.
Naked and afraid. Yep.
So when do you go to a restaurant, do you say, don't cook the food? Let me just go back and bonk it on the head and eat it here?
No, actually, I...
Wow.
Tonight I'm going to go over here to Fashion Island. I'm going to go just eat out of the dumpster.
Why not?
Just kidding. Oh, my God. But I do have a YouTube video where I fed 50 people on Skid Row from a trash dumpster.
Wow.
With food that's pristine, by the way. You're not going to eat that?
No, do you want to eat? I'm, like, nervous still. Oh, my God.
What a chicken.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. What a chicken or duck or whatever this is.
She's
but I'm
ducking
saying,
her obligation to me.
You're the chicken,
what is
Ashley.
What
here.
Is
mm-mm-mm.
That's just a little behind her,
wait,
his head or something.
I don't know what
here.
This is here.
I know, that's hard.
What is this thing?
I don't know, but
probably
I ate
his head.
It. I ate it.
Oh, my God. Well, at least it is cooked, so.
Yeah.
It looks live, but it is cooked, it says.
It's hard. It's like cartilage. I tried it.
That?
Now, do you eat just raw food? I mean, like, if you found... certainly bugs, you probably eat a live bug, but would you eat something, a mouse or something? Would you just, the famous story of Ozzy Osbourne biting a head off a chicken, I don't know if it really happened, if that's just...
No, it's a true story. He bit the head off of a dove when he was trying to get a record deal when Sharon, his wife, regenerated him and found him.
Right.
And the story is, those white doves, he planned on throwing it out the window at the record company.
Right.
And thought it would fly away. But I've seen this happen before, too. When you let those white doves go, they turn around and come back because they don't live in the wild. They're like, where am I going to go? Yeah.
Right.
So it flew back in the window, and Ozzy, out of frustration, bit the head off of it.
Oh, my God.
It wasn't planned. But guess what? He got the record deal.
The record deal.
So I can relate, and here's why. Here's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
There's like two more.
Now, listen, because I found a head on XL4. Remember, a head's part of my story. I brought that head back and lived off of it.
Yeah,
so me, by fluke, like
it.
Ozzy Osbourne, ate a head, and it became part of my identity.
There you go.
Holy smokes, right? So you just grab... I say that life is a series of accidents.
Yeah.
And you just got to recognize the ones and grab a hold of them and turn them into opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Trust the universe. So kind of nice. What's great to wrap up this story about me, a kid swallowing seeds, running around barefooted, getting stung by bees for fun, turns into a freaking career.
And traveling all over.
And traveling all over the world. I've lived the most days naked off the land in Africa out of all the survivalists, 103. Wow, so I've traveled the world, turned my wild, mischievous, defiant, because defiance is, I want freedom, so that's one reason I choose to live the way I do, too. So I've turned this defiant, mischievous little boy into a grown man that still plays the same way, but only found a way to make a living.
That's amazing.
And my dad taught me to snorkel when I was 5. I call my dad all the time.
Does he watch him in the show?
Yeah, he watches the show, him and his friends in Hawaii. Okay. And I call my dad all the time. I go, look, man, you had no idea. You could say, you can't say you never sent me to college, because I turned what you did for fun as a kid into my business.
That's amazing.
And my dad said to me this. He goes, yeah, you know what's funny about that? He goes, I was just broke, and I just bought a mask and snorkel because it was something free to go do all the time. And so I just taught you how to do it because we could go do it for free all the time.
Oh, my gosh. That's an amazing story. So, like, you guys are the same, too.
Yeah. So the entrepreneurship is I literally took all this stuff.
And it helps you being on the show, like, helps you.
And I sunk into gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I realized, being born and raised in California, I woke up and I said, holy crap. I was born in paradise.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna capitalize on it and I'm gonna find a way to enjoy this as much as I can. Because I went through those teenage years where I complained and I moaned and cried about life, you know, those teenage years.
Yeah.
And I looked around in the world and got perspective and I was like, dude, you better shut up, because if you're complaining, you're greedy.
Yeah, we are lucky out here, definitely. And nature, I think, is always like helpful for, you know, a lot of different ways and stuff.
Oh, well, I'll give you two prime examples. Nature, it cures diseases, and we're here to master plants. A lot of people don't know that you're here to master plants, I'll give a quick rundown.
Are you, like, vegan, too?
No. No, okay. I just ate balut in front of you. And because meat's very healthy for you. And from a man who lives off the land, it's funny when I debate with people, they try to debate with me, a guy at my age that's still whipping out backflips and living like Tarzan off the land, they try to tell me.
Yeah, you're, like, healthier than everybody.
Yeah, I'm pretty healthy for my age, right?
Do you live off the land out here?
Well, in the sense that I get paid to take people kayaking on the river and snorkeling in the ocean and kayaking.
And you find stuff there you can eat? Like plants?
I have some tours I do where I take you, we snorkel, we pull up a bunch of sea urchins and eat them raw on the beach.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll eat if a client complains about the seaweed, rubbing them because they're creeped out by it.
Oh, okay.
I'll go knock it off and I'll grab some and I'll eat it because it's got iodine and all these powerful nutrients in it.
Yeah, people do eat it.
So the knowledge of plants is the knowledge of everything, because I'll give you two elements. You know a disease where your teeth fall out and your hair falls out? They get it on the ships. You know what that's called?
No.
Scurvy.
Okay.
You ever hear of scurvy?
I think it sounds familiar.
Okay, well, the cure is oranges.
Wow.
Limes.
Vitamin C.
Nice. Okay, and then UTIs. Do you know what would help a UTI?
No.
Cranberry juice. Cranberries. Huh.
You have to tell people what a UTI is. Urinary tract infection.
Yeah, urinary tract infection. So these are two illnesses where the answer is plants.
Right.
So imagine if you knew all the remedies to every illness.
Yeah.
They exist.
Right. That's true. I believe that for sure.
Do you ever run into traditional shamans or medicine men in tribes in remote areas and they show you how they consume plants to fight?
I haven't done that as much as I would like because I had the gift of being sent to Africa, to the Amazon, but I've always had stuff calling me back home. I've always wanted to stay.
Right.
You know,
what was your favorite place? What's your favorite?
Africa.
Really? Okay.
Africa. And I'll tell you why.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No bugs compared to the jungle. Yeah. I lived off tarantulas in Belize. And
Oh, my gosh.
But Africa, too, because of this. Mm-hmm. When you look around, you are surrounded by so much powerful wildlife. One day, 300 elephants came out of the hills and just played in the water.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I was chased by elephants. There's impalas and zebras everywhere and wildebeests. I had a leopard run right past me, hyenas run right past me. So it's like...
That is so cool.
I'm living in like a...
Do you get nervous, though, when you see these animals?
Well, yeah.
Because you don't have, like, no weapons or anything, too.
No, I had to run like a football field from a bull elephant trying to kill me.
Oh, my God.
In Africa.
And not only are you afraid, you're naked.
Yeah, barefooted, trying to outrun an elephant
in
Africa.
What does that add to the whole element of being naked? Is that just really stripping you down to nothing here?
And I'll tell you, that's a good question. People always say, why naked? And I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. There's a story that I was told by one of the producers, that one of the creators, you know how in hotels and motels there would be a Bible in the drawer?
Right.
Yeah.
He cracked open the Bible. Gideon's Bible, I think, is the one
Gideon's
that's in,
Bible.
Right?
The Gideons put Bibles in all the...
Yes, and so he cracked it open and it said, and Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they were naked, and they were afraid. So it's based off of after the apple was eaten. Remember, they get their feet, it said you will be sore underfoot, and then they were ashamed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of based on meeting a stranger naked and being and feeling the pain, because before that, it was the Garden of Eden. They didn't feel pain. Yeah. After that apple got eaten, the suffering started. So I was told it was based on that.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't even know that.
And then, let's be honest, it makes people go, why naked? There's a sexual tension, the whole bit, meeting a stranger naked.
Is it ever, like, do you ever get nervous about it? Like, being with other people?
What, have them look at me naked?
Being naked on the show?
As I got seven cameras around me, and and rangers, and sound guys, and cast members all staring at me naked all the time. That's what I do.
Or maybe you get used to it.
You get used to it. And plus, you know, you're kind of like, well, tough, you know.
Yeah.
And why does it make, particularly me, I can think of, it's bad enough to be out in the middle of nowhere and have to survive on bugs and slugs and anything I can plant and anything I can do to keep going here with nothing to protect me. But somehow, if you're naked, you think, I'm going to get burned or bit or something in these places. I don't know.
I've
pretty sensitive
the
there. Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, on that note, Jeremy, my partner in XL4, he got bit on the penis by a spider.
Yeah, right.
Oh, because, you know, brown recluse, right? People get stuff amputated, right?
Yeah.
Man, he stared at his penis for 3 days just like, just to see if it was growing. Because to see if he should leave, right?
Yeah.
And it messed him up. And one guy, he got bit by a wasp and it swelled up. And so, yeah.
I don't want to get bit anywhere, but I certainly don't want to get bit on my butt or my penis or something.
Yeah.
In my private parts here, you know, that are usually covered up and protected.
And what you're not thinking about, what I experienced, imagine walking through tall grass. Grass has like... There's a sawgrass.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, it's cutting you up, and you're like,
paper
oh my god,
cuts all over yourself.
Yeah, so you got to hold your junk and walk through tall grass. It's, I mean, stuff that you just don't think of.
Because it seems what little I know about primitive societies, it seems that even in the earliest cavemen, they started to cover themselves up. Those parts of the body they did.
Some people make clothes, don't they?
Yeah, you make clothes if you can, and
okay.
But shoes, especially because shoes are huge. Like, it's funny when I hear people say, yeah, I've always wanted to like commune with nature naked and live off the wild. And I thought, people that say that have never lived off the land naked. Because I tell you, clothes go a lot farther than you think, people.
Right.
There's been times when I've been shivering, and it's just that perfect temperature where it's a little bit above. I wouldn't shiver if it was 2 degrees warmer.
Yeah.
And what I would have do for a cotton shirt.
Yeah. Right. Oh, my gosh.
You know, just a short sleeve cotton shirt would make that difference, right?
What do you do to survive that? You make a blanket or something out of the plants?
Yeah, you try or you shiver, or sometimes if it's unbearable, because you'll go back to the fire and just sit by it and try to warm up. And
oh, my gosh.
Do you ever just go... Makeup, and then they come and run, bring a blanket on the in between takes or something.
No, I wish there was such a thing. But hey, on that note, it's imagine working, because some days, some challenges are 60 days. I've gone 43, and imagine working for 2 months straight without even a 10-minute break.
Yeah, that's how it is for you guys.
Huh? Yeah, we like what I'm getting at is even sleeping is hard labor, because that fire burns when it's really cold out. Mm-hmm. Or there's bugs across you, just you got to feed it,
yeah, you get
regenerate
nervous,
it. If it dies down, you wake up shivering and you got to regenerate the fire.
Right.
So even sleeping is labor.
I feel like
on dirt,
sometimes I'm
on ground.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe you should like sleep during the day and at night you can stay up.
There's times you have to. Yeah, okay. Where it's like, well, so cold. Because I will tell you this, being a survivalist, sleep is more important than food.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one night without sleep and you are beat. I mean, try it in our society. We could go days without food, but man, a few nights without sleep, one night without sleep, you get headaches. And I know, I get dizzy. And what you're saying is true. There's times I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have to go find a spot in the sun and sleep because I didn't get it last night.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's nerve-wracking at night because the animals and then everything happening and bugs. And
oh, yeah. You hear noises. I had a partner.
I feel like I would be so scared.
Yeah, I had a partner on one challenge, just to give you on that note right there. It was her first time I did it with a fan.
Okay.
One minute.
Okay.
2 minutes left.
So she was so scared that she stayed up for 3 nights in a row listening. So I slept like a baby because I had an alarm system. So on that note, Ashley,
oh my gosh.
I don't know if you want, me to share
takeaway,
do
thoughts,
have, like,
what do we learn from this?
Do you have some advice for everybody, you know, about nature?
Yeah, what I want to say is this. We all have a cause. Fossil fuels aren't necessarily bad. Plastics aren't necessarily bad. There's advances in medical technology that saved lives. Preemies need little tubes. So it's how we use it, how much we use of it. You know, we're a species with almost 8 billion where people are complaining about the hand that that feeds them, like fossil fuel. We wouldn't be here without it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We just need to all scale back everything we do. If you like meat, eat it only when you need it. If you need to drive somewhere, so just everything as little as possible, because every single it's like a hammer. A hammer can break a window and smash a window or build a beautiful house. It's not black and white. I want everybody to know that.
Yeah, that's good.
So think about what you're complaining about, because you're probably complaining about something that we might need, like bottled water. It's great to use in a hurricane to drop in to save lives, but not out of convenience all the time. And that's my point that I want to get across.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. How do they find you? Give us the websites and everything again.
I am GaryGolding.com or Tarzan of Los Angeles. I do tours all over California. I do appearances and assemblies for children. That's where the motivational speaker part comes in. And at Tarzan of Los Angeles 1 on Instagram. And that's where you can see most of my stuff right there.
All right, everybody, make sure you go there. Make sure you contact Gary for some outdoor classes, snorkeling.
And I'll make you eat some crazy stuff.
And where did they get your book, Ashley?
My book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, Ferocious Skills, and you guys can find it there.
So wait, what's it called?
Ferocious Sales Skills.
Huh? Ferocious Sales Skills.
Ferocious.
Like a ferocious lion.
Okay. Ferocious Sales Skills, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why she brings people like you on. She wants the lion and all of us to come alive here.
This is very interesting, too, I have to say. This egg. I don't know. We have two left, so we still have lunch, guys.
Not for anybody
there
I know.
You go. We're not going to go hungry here.
Thanks for coming in, guys, here.
Yep.
Well, there you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to The Real World of Sales with our Real World Sales Coach, Ashley V, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.